is.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I wouldn't want that banned from a high school, even though it is incredibly grim and graphic. And I don't think it should be required reading. I think it's very upsetting. But I think if you're a 17-year-old and you want to read it, it should be accessible to you. Like some of these things, I think it's just an issue of what age group are we talking about? And definitely, obviously, universities, it should be fine.
The other one that comes to mind is His Dark Materials by Philip Pullman.
Really?
Yeah, that one has been adapted into a very, very successful HBO adaptation TV show and a not-so-successful movie adaptation that happened before that.
Yeah.
So The Golden Compass, The Subtle Life, and The Amber Spyglass. Mm-hmm. That was attempted to be banned by Catholic school boards, I believe, in Ontario.
Okay.
Because it's also not particularly... I think they say it promotes atheist themes, whereas maybe not taking a glowing look at the role of Christianity. And the other one, the second most banned book...
It's anti-orthodoxy. I loved that series. It's about orthodoxy. It's not anti-religion. It's just anti-stubborn interpretation according to the literal letter of the scripture. Like, that's the whole point of the thing. It's against orthodoxy, which... Not all of Catholicism is orthodox. I don't know. It's a weird stance to take on that series. I got opinions about that book.
The second most banned book at the moment is another gay one. Mm-hmm. And that one is Flamer, also a semi-autobiographical graphic novel, this one by Mike Curato. Mm-hmm. This one relates to a Boy Scouts summer camp. And it is coming of age, it mm-hmm. is sexuality, it is mm-hmm. sort of learning who you are, you know, and so on and so forth. It discusses toxic masculinity, it discusses homophobia, mm-hmm. A certain amount of dealing with that sort of mental health piece of it as well. Yeah, and that one was banned under the claims that it was sexually explicit. In one example of this mm-hmm. particular book, it was banned by the Alpine School District after Utah's sensitive materials in schools book ban was rolled out mm-hmm. because they alleged that this contained pornographic material. However, a book review committee, this time in Texas, found that it did not contain it. And it was only when parents took the matter to the police directly, mm-hmm. the police read the book and also agreed, no, it didn't actually contravene the law. Mm-hmm. I think what's happening is there is so much hysteria and panic happening. Like, oh my God, these books are the worst. Think of the children. Mm-hmm. That it's leading to this sort of ridiculous amount of paranoia. And the best way to sum that up is Escambia County School District in Florida. Just past May, mm-hmm. Penguin Random House, one of the two biggest publishers in the world, children, students, their parents, and the authors have all joined together to sue the school district. Now, that particular school district ignored the advice of one of their advising book bodies mm-hmm. and continued to ban a whole raft of books anyway, just right. based on a broad interpretation, not actual guidance based on what would be really age appropriate and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And now they're being taken to court, but they're being taken to court federally.
Oh.
And I think this is going to be the one that sort of might potentially change the deal, change the discussion on these book bans mm-hmm. because they are alleging that it infringes on the First Amendment right to kind of express themselves and also the ability to be able to read these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So for the students themselves.
So some of these are very complicated and there's no easy way to talk about it. Like I could introduce the topic and then you'll probably just go, oh, yes, that's difficult. We don't have the time to go over it. And one of the big ones, whenever you're talking about coming of age stories, We all know, we were all young ones. We all had peers who, when we were in grade 9 or whatever, so they would have been like 13, 14, had sexual experiences for the first time. It is not, it's neither common nor is it exceptional to start being sexually active that young. For somebody to do a coming of age story about their own experiences doing that, fine, okay. But then you're running up against the issue of now you're depicting very underage people sexually doing something that they do actually do sometimes, but how do you depict that in a way that doesn't run shot of sort of publicly acceptable behavior in terms of how you depict this sort of thing? This is the kind of thing where, like, you show them holding hands and maybe kissing on the cheek, and then you imply that they did something off screen. But then how do you do that without running roughshod of public perception of ethics? Even though, again, this is something that, like, I remember when I was in grade 9, I had peers who were doing it. So what's, I don't know, is it realistic? Is it unethical to depict? Is it unethical to ignore? How do we do this? Usually what they do in the United States is they just get actors who are 5 years older. That's why when you watch American high school shows, everyone's in their mid-20s. Mm-hmm. That's because then it's a 25-year-old depicting a 15-year-old, and then it kind of like gets around the edges of that. But there's no easy way of doing it. But also, ignoring the fact that that really happens also causes problems, because then ignoring the fact that that's real is what leads to things like teen pregnancy and STIs the relationship between substance abuse and sexuality. Like, there's a whole bunch of issues that you need to acknowledge, but then how do you do it in a way that doesn't, like, this is not even a left versus right thing. You'd have people who are progressive who would still find that upsetting if you depicted young sexuality a little bit too much. So, I mean,
yeah.
What's the right way to do it? I don't know. There's no easy way to talk about it. Some of these books just being like, do you know what? We don't know the answer, so we're just going to play it safe and say, not until you're 16, buddy. I don't blame them, but pulling them all together.
It's not that. It is not that well thought out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the lawsuit in place here is alleging that it breaches the First Amendment right for students, authors, and publishers based on ideological objections to their content or disagreement with their messages or themes.
Mm.
Depictions of child sexuality are covered in law. These books would never be published if they were in contravention of law. Mm. It is a moral argument against these law-abiding books that is what's having them all removed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, you cannot, like, there's already things in place to protect children. Furthermore, the majority or a significant portion, the largest proportion of these are LGBT authors or non-white authors or subjects related to LGBT identities. It is it's hard not to invoke language from, you know, the 1930s here, but it is definitely a tirade against representations, ideas. The written idea of queer folks is what's being blanket banned in counties and school districts up and down the United States. Individual books, and we touched on a couple here where maybe the representations are not ideal.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. But it's 100 books a month
being
wholesale removed. The book bans are running out of control. It's a fire that has spread too thick and too fast. We will keep an eye on it. We'll keep an eye. We'll see how this evolves. But it's a very difficult subject for sure, especially when it comes to the right to decide what you can and cannot read, the right to decide which ideas you have access to. You know what I mean? And I think it's a really tricky space to be in.
I like Chuck Tingle, but if they banned Chuck Tingle, I wouldn't be disappointed. Are you familiar with Chuck Tingle?
I am very familiar with Chuck Tingle based on previous conversations we've had about Chuck Tingle.
A comedy, gay, erotica writer. One of his most famous books being Pounded in the Butt by My Own Butt.
We're going to be jumping to How It Feels Revisited by Glutenhead, the one band that Sebastian cannot consume.
I can't listen to it.
It's true. It'll cause a reaction. These are folks out of Toronto. They also transgress a whole bunch of different genres. But this is How It Feels, the revisited version by Glutenhead, and we will be back just after. Welcome back to Calgary, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
I kind of whistled that when I said queer.
Queer.
Oh, who knew? All right. Now, just now we were talking about people who very much dislike books. And I want to move now to some fans who are maybe a little bit too fanatical about books, particularly the Heartstopper series. Season 2 is now available on Netflix, which includes the Paris trip. An absolutely adorable, G-rated, super cute graphic novel featuring a gay male couple, game by, and it's a pleasant show. Highly mm-hmm. recommend. Some people have taken it a little bit too far.
Mm-hmm.
So we talked before about a lot of fan backlash or fan pressure on Kit Connor, who is one of the actors, to find out whether or not Kit Connor is gay or whether or not this is another straight actor playing a gay role. This is gay baiting and so on and so forth. And then he revealed that he was bi himself or gay, I forget which one, but mostly admonished the audience, being like, look, you forced a teenager to publicly out himself.
Yeah.
Relentless pressure.
Yeah.
Like, this is not how things should be done.
No.
And now Joe Locke, who apparently has been openly gay for years and years, recently said that people need to stop phone calling his grandmother.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is really happening?
Yes. Yeah, he said that he's feeling a sense of guilt after one of his fans phoned his grandmother. Like, not only that, but his mother had to create all new social media after fans of the show found his mother on social media. And I think that there is a conversation here to be had about that sense of ownership for folks in the public space. You know, there's if you're in the public eye, there is a sense of the public owning you to a degree, which I'm not the biggest fan of. But I think that this is truly outrageous. You know, you don't phone a random actor's grandmother. Like, at what point that is in no realm of reasonable is calling an actor's grandmother anywhere on that list?
Is that to the degree of criminal harassment when you're doing that, or is that just like bad form? Because there are some things that don't necessarily cross the line of illegality, but it's still just like, buddy, don't do that, you know?
Well, I mean, just as a very quick reminder for our audience, because we've discussed harassment multiple times before, it would be criminal harassment if...
Don't call people who don't want you to call them, basically.
Yeah, if you've been clearly told not to communicate. So the one-time phone call to Joe Locke's grandmother probably isn't, but it's definitely not appropriate by any means. It was definitely very weird and not great. It's ridiculous. Now, onto some not great news out of Europe. Although Europe is having a lovely time in general.
Apparently the weather's beautiful today.
It is. Everyone's talking about how nice it is in Europe right now. Mm-hmm. We are not in Europe, which is very unfortunate. But yes, I wanted to mention how there is a memorial in Germany for LGBT victims of, particularly gay male victims of the Nazi regime in the Second World War. Now, about 1,000, I think like 10,000 or more, 10,000 to 15,000 queer people were sent to concentration camps and where they lost their lives. The memorial in Tiergarten, Berlin, was recently defaced. I believe that the Berlin police are treating it as a hate crime. Mm-hmm. And looking into it to see really who did the vandalizing and to potentially capture them or prosecute them. Sorry, not just capture them. That sounds a bit ominous. It's desperately sad that a memorial to over 10,000 victims under the Nazi regime is vandalized. Just despicable. Truly despicable.
Was it like just torn down, or was it graffitied?
It was graffitied.
Oof. Oof, that's all I can say to that. Just big oof. Find a better hobby there, buddy.
Absolutely. The Euro Pride will be taking place in Malta, Valletta in Malta, this September. Euro Pride is one of the biggest prides in the world. And just this past week, 60,000 people gathered in Prague for Prague Pride. So lots of things happening all over the place. Now, finally, one thing that's raised a lot of eyebrows and left a significant number of competitors confused. The World Chess Authority, FIGA, has eventually decided that they need to figure out what to do about trans folks. Because when you think of sport that could be impacted by your genitalia, chess is always right at the top of that list. It is for me. When I'm playing chess, I'm always concerned about the various hormones
Well,
being exercised in the person opposite.
I
But
mean, never mind genitalia. I don't think bone density or upper body strength really factor into chess either. Unless it's like that.
those rooks are very hard to move around, and the
Well, that's.
queen has some heft.
I was gonna say, if it was one of those like Montreal parquet chess boards where like the pieces are like 4 feet tall, then the giant wood ones that you have to heft around, maybe. But like even then, if you want to participate and you're gonna, lift with your knees, not with your back, and move one of those things, that's up to you, buddy. Like that's your choice. I don't, this is of all the bands out there, this is the weirdest by
It is
far.
absurd. And what it means is they've essentially banned trans women from competing in women's chess for up to 2 years, potentially less if they can figure themselves out sooner. But there are a lot of highly qualified, highly competitive chess players who are like, so I can't play in the French Open tournament, or I can't play in the Euro Club of finale or what have you, because it is effectively removing their ability to keep play in chess. It's absurd because I don't know. And they also have anti-discrimination factors in their policies where they don't discriminate based on gender or sex. However, they also won't let you play. So the world of chess is all aflutter with what to do next as they deal with this frankly ridiculous ban on the issue. This is one of those things where clearly somebody with a bee in the bonnet has decided they're going to have to raise the question. And there are just some spaces where it's frankly not relevant. And I think playing chess might well be one of them. What a palaver. All right, we are moving on. We did not touch on the stabbing in Clapham at the True Breweries pub in London in the UK. We are glad that the quick work of the staff at the True Brewers helped save a number of other people from any further injury. And police, I believe, are still looking for the assailants. We are monitoring that story as it unfolds. Now, that's all we have time for this week. I have been Luke Smith.
And what are we playing out with?
Oh, excellent question. That is an excellent question. We are playing out with Paradise by R Glass Zoo. I've been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian, and thank you for listening.
A little whatever.